So we're in the Uber, and I'm looking around, and I'm like, okay, so we're going to the club. And the guy's like, yeah, I'm going to take you there. The route says to make a left, but then he makes a right. So my girlfriend's like, excuse me, sir, you made a right when it was supposed to go left. And the guy's like, oh, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's a shortcut, okay? Like, I know exactly where I'm going.
Hey, what's going on? It's Enid here. And if you're new to Raw Storytelling, welcome to the Crazy Show. So I'm Enid Nolasco. As I said, I am the host of Raw Storytelling, and I'm also a brand designer, and I have a branding studio called Raw Made. And basically, Raw Storytelling is my community building part of my studio, where I get to have fun sharing stories with people and having people share their stories with the rest of us. And I love it so much. So that is how Raw Storytelling came to be. And I'm so grateful you're here listening to this episode. We just celebrated our third year, which is incredible. And there's so much good content, so much good stories on the podcast. We've done over 25 episodes of the podcast. There are stories on our websites. We have a really active social media. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Raw Storytelling. And we have a book of poetry called Grammatical Siblings that you can purchase and read some of our poems from myself and other people who have shared at Raw Storytelling. It's so, so exciting to have this platform where we can really be authentic and share everything that makes us tingle. We are based in South Florida, and specifically Fort Lauderdale, Florida, but we have shows all over South Florida. Usually we have live shows, but due to COVID, those are on pause until, I don't know, maybe when there's a vaccine or 2021. We're not sure right now, but for sure, the podcast is going strong. We are currently airing all of the stories that were shared last year, or between 2019 and 2020, the shows that we did have, we're airing those stories now. And we welcome you to pitch your story to go directly to podcasts, because the cool thing that's happened with COVID is that it's opened us up to experiment. So we're experimenting with receiving stories from all over the world and having those featured on the podcast in the future. So if you want to pitch your story, go to rawstorytelling.org and click on the Share My Story button and fill out the form. I would love to hear your pitches for being on the podcast in the future. And we are a donation-based organization. I basically donate from my own pocket to keep it alive, but I really need your help, and every dollar helps. If you want to donate and help us out, you can go to rawstorytelling.org/donate. Or you can buy some of our swag. It's also on the website at rawstorytelling.org. Before I go any further, if you love what you heard so far, stop right now and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It really, really, really helps us get found by more people, so people can really enjoy these amazing stories. And so before we start the show, did you know that we also want your secrets? Yeah, we have this secret segment called Too Raw to Share. And originally, people would fill out a little card at the live shows, and we would put that on social media. But now we've opened up a secrets hotline and an anonymous secret message board. And you can leave your secret 100% anonymously by going to rawstorytelling.org/too-raw. That's T-O-O-R-A-W. Or call our hotline 786-361-6112. And just to give you a little something, here's a secret that somebody left on the message board. It says, "Sometimes I'm so in awe of how mesmerizing a porn star is, I look them up on social media and spend more time admiring their lifestyle than actually watching the porn." Yep, I've done that too. Guilty as charged. Okay, well, thank you so much for listening, and I can't wait for you to hear these stories. On with the show.
first storyteller, his name is Mario Mendoza. I cannot say Spanish words with in an English accent. I have to do the whole thing. So Mario Mendoza is our first storyteller, and his story is titled Young and Broke in America. And Mario, wherever you are, there you are. I remember when
I lost my mind. Hello, can everyone hear me? Okay, I have a bit of a cold, so if I sound rusty, you gotta forgive me. So, how did I end up driving a cab for like a year? This story starts back in 2010. I was hiding in grad school because recession was still on. And I discovered around this time period that grad school was not very good when it came to the job market. It was pretty abysmal. I didn't wanna be an adjunct teacher and make $20,000 a year. I found a job with a tour company that was owned by some friends of mine. Since I have really good work ethic, I ended up becoming a manager. It was a good job by Miami standards. And everything was okay up until 2012. Our sales started to go down, down, down. And my reward for being such a good employee was that I was the last person to be fired. Yeah. And I had just moved out to a nice studio and bought furniture, IKEA and everything. So a lot of IKEA furniture is cheap, but you know, it's a lot of stuff. So I was looking for jobs everywhere. I was overqualified for most jobs, unfortunately. My buddy, he drove a cab. His father-in-law was a medallion owner, so he had several cars, and he said, hey, if after 6 months you can't find anything, call me and I'll hook you up. You just take the course and that's it. You make good money driving a cab back then. This is 2013. So after 6 months, I was broke and still didn't have a job. So I finally ended up driving a cab. So people ask, how was driving a cab? It was interesting. People don't expect the cab driver to be educated. They're actually surprised that you know how to read and write. Not that I blame customers, but. So this created a lot of interesting conversations I had with customers. Because they don't expect to ever see the cab driver again, they open up and end up telling you a lot of their personal, intimate information stuff. Occasionally, you get indecent proposals. Nothing wrong with that. So what are my most craziest stories? There's quite a few. I mean, after a while, I kept a diary of crazy stories. Let me see. There's the time that I picked up these tourists. They were at some art basil party. And they were at some mansion. They were skinny dipping. Maybe some drugs involved. And they had a fight with the host, and the host kicked them out. And I picked them up in my cab, and one of them had, there was three men and two women, and one of them only had a towel, the other one had some bed sheets, because it looked like they had to run out of the place. And yeah, there's also the times I picked up transgender prostitutes. They always had fun stories about their customers, and they tip well. That's a good thing, they tip well. The time I packed 10 people, fully grown adults, into the cab, it was a Crown Victoria. They're really strong. They're ugly, but they're strong cars. What else? The time that I picked up a supermodel and she invited me for drinks, that was good. Yeah, I know. Yeah, no, she was a real one. I Googled her and she turned out, she was an actual real, because in Miami Beach, they all claim they're supermodels. So you have to, you know, have your phone ready. There's also the people that lost bowel control, but you don't want to hear about those. It happens more than you expect. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, let's skip that one. I think the risky stories are the fun ones. So once I was driving around Brickell. I don't know if anyone's here familiar with Brickell. That's in Miami. It's a nice area, financial district, a lot of nice buildings. And there's a motel called the Starlight. It's probably where all the, you know, the financial guys take the secretary during lunch, you know, extended lunch. So my customer was this very suave Cuban guy, straight out of Scarface. He gets in the cab and he says, I'm going to need a solid from you. So when people say asala, you know, it's always bad news. I'm hoping that it has nothing to do with dead bodies or anything like that. So he says, I need you to take me to go see my dealer. I need to get some coke for my girl because she fucks better with coke. And I'm like, okay, where does your dealer live? Oh, he just right close by. It's in Overtown. Now, for those that are familiar, Overtown is a pretty dangerous part north of downtown Miami. The First 48 used to film there all the time. There's actually a big article about it. Well, any case. So I think about it for a minute. I'm like, okay, it's a really dangerous area. But it's only 8 p.m. It's early. But it's really dangerous. But I need the money. You want to make that money early so you're not driving till 6 in the morning. But it's really dangerous. But I need the money. So I say, fuck it. Let's go. So we take like 10 minutes to get there. And I drop in my office at some building. He goes in to see his dealer. You know, there's people walking around the street. There's kids playing football in a big empty lot. A lot of people are staring at me and pointing because cabs usually don't go to Overtown. All of a sudden, I see a crackhead walking towards the cab. It gets closer. I decide it's better if I just start the cab and go around the block, drive around a little bit. I can't hear what he says, but I know he curses. I heard motherfucker, give me a dollar, something like that. Yeah. So I drive like two blocks north. I stop in a side street for a little bit, wait around. I count like maybe 4 minutes. Okay, I'm gonna go back. I'm driving slowly. Then all of a sudden, who do I see? Police officer coming my way. And I'm like, oh shit. What do I say? My customer, he went to see his grandma who's dying. I mean, you know, I'm very Christian, so I had to bring him here, officer. I don't know anything about drugs. What? No drugs? I never seen anything. I don't know nothing. You know, or I could just go with, how am I supposed to know he came here to buy drugs? I don't know anything. I don't know this area. Thankfully, the police car keeps going. It turns off its lights. I'm like, oh shit. Then he speeds away and goes off into the night. So thankfully, I didn't get in trouble. I picked up my customer, took him back to his motel. He gave me like $10 extra tip, but still, I was wondering where it was worth it to risk my ass going over there. I mean, sometimes I'm brave, but sometimes I think back that maybe it wasn't a good idea. But thankfully, nothing happened. That wasn't the last time that someone told me, hey, I'm going to go in and see my friend. I'll be right back. And they were probably buying weed or some other drug. But yeah, driving a cab can be really dangerous. It can be fun. It can be horrible because the night shift is pretty bad. But sometimes it can also be fun. But most of all, it can be very tedious and boring because you're driving around all day sweating. I had to put the AC on, and customers are not always nice. Well, sometimes. I hope you guys enjoyed it.
Story of the night. by a raw storytelling veteran at this point. He's shared many stories here. His name is Carlos Bacanins. He's a proud Venezuelan, and I love that about him. And his story is titled The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
How are you? Good night. I hope you feel good. First of all, you have to understand my speech because I have the day 2012. It was near Christmas. And I remember that day, Christmas 2012, the doctor come to me in my room. I was ACU, and I don't know why that day. And the doctor told me, what is your name? So I so happy that day. There's no problem. I know where's my name. And I say, coño. If you don't understand the word, it's a bad word in Spanish. And my mother with me, almost my name, because my name is Carlos. It's almost coño, almost the same. So all the people there in my room, it's like, what did you say? Coño, pana. What? Coño, qué ladilla. What? All my bad word for me. I have a massive stroke. 22 December. I lost all my speech. I lost all my write and read and understand logic. Like a funny joke. I can understand. I can drive my car 8 months after. But before my stroke, one of the reasons was my stress. Why? I was attorney in Venezuela and attorney in US, master in Georgetown. I lost that. but I lost practice law. There's nothing for me, you know? With my stroke, it was here in Miami, and I remember the best stroke, but I'm gonna tell you after with my Uber stroke. Is we have a bridge, you understand after. And one of the reason I was success in Venezuela, you know, I was the king there. But it's not a people you can live anymore in the jungle in Venezuela anymore. So I come back 2011 and I find my job here. And you know, I need to find my bar. I haven't studied a lot, doing my stroke. And I work in a firm, and the people trust me, not good for me. Humble people, you know, they wish it was my boss. And that day I understand humble for me. You know, I have to, it's not king anymore, Venezuela, you are number. You have to job to work, that's it. And that's the first time I want to be humble. So after, with my stroke, I've had to think a lot for me, the future, you know? What's gonna be my future? Law anymore, because I can write a letter. It's nothing, there's nothing there. I can, what then? What is my future? So cooking, I love cooking. I can talk, I can do that. It's no problem, but I have to like a plan. And near to my home, they helped me, you know, like cooking sometime, waiter, like driver. And it's to talk to people, you know, is recovery, the people helped me a lot. But my brother, he told me, you can do it Uber. You can, okay, let's see. We thought about it. And my brother, he bought a car for me, and let's go. So, the good, the bad, and the ugly. The first is gonna be the ugly. It was the worst time for them. It was a woman. He was so drunk. In the airport in Miami, in Fort Lauderdale. The driver in Uber, you have to wait in the parking in the airport. You have a lot driver Uber, and I'm not the first, you know, you have like 10, you have to wait then. And when you have that, it's you turn, okay, and that woman, he said, How much time? I'd send 5 minutes. Okay, 5 minutes. And I don't know why I count the time. I put it there, 3 minutes. And he write me, what, 5 minutes? You have 10 minutes. He was so bad, it started. So, okay, when you, he stayed in my car, and I smell alcohol a lot, and she was, you know, the sunglasses and so rude. It's like, oh, I think you are Mexican. And I say, did you vote Donald Trump? The glass like this. And I took like this. No more. Because the people, you have to understand, you know? It's like you have to be rude. It's like inside is so ugly for the people. Because I'm never gonna talk to me to attorney. I'm never gonna say, are you Mexican? No, I never have that. So it's the first time they feel the race for me. Never, the first time. It was the ugly. The bad for me is I can't have any stress. Is that for bad people? It's like I never feel anymore. You know, I can't have another winter. I can't do that anymore. That one of the reasons after with my Uber, no more. I have only 1 month. It's my a lot of feeling bad feeling and not bad people is horrible. But the good for me, humble for me. One of the people in the airport, acceptable airport for Dodo, he was talked me very so sweet. And, oh, what happened, Uber, you know, well, I have a stroke, blah, 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 blah. And he have a sailboat in Fort Lauderdale. And he drive like 20, 40 minutes, and he say, Carlos, can you have dinner with my family in the boat? It's like, okay, why not? Yeah, why not? And that dinner, it was amazing. Just he was study in Georgetown, and he was, but after in the dinner, and you know you have to feel to understand positive energy. If you have negative energy, you have to out. You don't need to have negative. What happened for me, my stroke, my humble for me. It's not my diploma. It's not diploma. My diploma, if my, I have 6 diploma, but the best diploma is I can drive again. That's the best diploma. It's not. But you know, I remember with my stroke too. You know, I remember the exactly with my stroke is the best stroke ever, best orgasm, because doing my stroke, I was doing make it love. So it's the best to die. Yes, it is. But it's not Georgetown, it's not in Venezuela here, Mexican. You have to be you inside. You have to be humble, simple. It's not Rolex, Gucci, I don't fucking care. You just be nice. That's it. Thank you.
Tidbit for you, those of you that are here, there wouldn't be a musical component if it wasn't for him. So thank you so much. Thank you so much for adding that little spice to us. Yeah, thank you. I'm going to read it to Ra to share. It says, I don't know how I feel about this, so I'm just going to put that out there first. In the crisp summer of 1992, I was lucky enough to fuck a brown boy named Dean, and the cab driver joined us. And it's signed Uncle Linda. So confused about this one. So confused. Whoever it is, meet me in the back and explain, please. Okay. Are you ready for our next storyteller? Yeah? Yes! Two more to go. If you're feeling down, there's always coffee back there, you know? Our next storyteller, her name is Desiree, and her story is titled, We're Not in Toronto Anymore.
Good evening. So January 2018, I was 19 years old, and it was my second year in college. I don't know if anyone's familiar with Pennsylvania, but I'm pretty sure no one's ever heard of Bradford. Yeah. You've heard of Bradford? Yeah. Okay, well, I went to the University of Pittsburgh in Bradford. It's very cold, very off of the radar, far northwest PA. And I was in the nursing program. I was a sophomore in college. And if you know any nursing students, they only see their textbooks, their exams, maybe their classmates if they make it to the class, and the NCLEX at the end. So just a bunch of books, a lot of stress, ramen, 2 hours of sleep a week, horrible. So I round up myself and 3 other friends, and we're like, you know, we're in Bradford. Like, we're in Bradford, you know, if we wanna go to the mall, you have to drive like 2 hours out to Erie to go to the nearest mall, or like 2 hours north to Buffalo, New York for the nearest mall. So we're like, you know, we're in Northwest PA, in Bradford, and it's our second year of college. We haven't done anything. I'm from Florida, you know. I'm not used to being away from the city or a mall. So I'm like, what's there to do here? Canada is like right there. It's only like about a 4-hour drive if you want to get to a nice city in Canada. So I go, I'm like, you know, it is the second semester. I passed nursing. Let's make a trip to Toronto. It's like right there. We could just drive. So it's MLK weekend. We're finally starting the spring semester off. And we're like, okay, let's do this trip. Let's go to Toronto. So it's the three of us. Well, yeah, it's the three of us, including myself. And my girlfriend at the time, her other two friends decided to join us because they're from New Jersey. You know, everyone's just up northwest, and I'm from down here. So I'm like, okay, we're going to drive to Canada. No worries. And it wasn't bad. We got to Canada, and that was all fine. We're in Toronto. And Toronto, if anyone's ever been, it's beautiful. It's like a clean New York. It's like amazing there. There's streetcars. They don't call them buses. They're streetcars. It's really nice. There's always cops and ambulances and lights and colors. And we were in the fashion district. And their Airbnb was like in the nicest condo. You know, when you go to Aventura and you see those really nice apartments, you're trying to get to the mall, but you like bump into those apartments. That's what it looks like in Toronto. Like, it's amazing, beautiful. So it's six of us in total, and we couldn't get any Uber XLs. So I'm like, okay, how are we gonna do this? We all need to get to a club, and we're not familiar with the area. We're gonna have to split up. So Wanda's extended friend, he goes ahead and he's like, you know what, I'll book the Uber for you girls. And my friend and I will meet you there. That's kind of how we got there in the first place. It was the three of my friends and Wanda's two extended friends. So one of them books us an Uber because our phones have no cellular reception or they're dead. But before we do all this, we're like, no, wait. We're in Toronto. This is like night number one. So I don't know if anyone's familiar with the term called crossfaded, but it's when you're drunk and high at the same time. So we're like pre-gaming. And then we're like, wait. We're in Toronto. There might be a dispensary here. So we go to the dispensary. We get like Blue Dream. I don't know if anyone's familiar with sativas, but sativas give you like a body high. So you feel really good when you're on it. Like, you don't get down like you do with indicas. You're like up, you're amped. So my two extended, you know, friends, they're like, okay, we're back with the weed. And we're like, okay, so we're gonna smoke, we're gonna drink, we're gonna do what? And then friend number one of my group is like, oh wait, I'm not smoking, I'm drinking. So she has five shots. Like, she's back. She's like, I gotta catch up with you guys because I don't know how high you're getting. So she's, one is done. Like, she's done for the night. Like, she's ready. And myself and my girlfriend, you know, we take like two hits, you know, we're feeling okay. And then friend number one, she gets up because I think like she took her shots, she sat down, she was waiting for us to finish. But then she got back up. She was like, I'm not the only one drinking, right? So we're like, you know what, why not? We're in Toronto. So I take some shots, other friends take some shots. Now we're crossfaded and we look at friend number one, we're like, okay, so everyone here's drank, who hasn't smoked? And she's like, oh, that's me. I haven't smoked yet. So she goes ahead and she grabs one of the blunts and she takes like maybe two hits. And she's like, all right, let's book this Uber. Now, I don't know if you guys have been crossfaded since you're not familiar with the term, but it feels like a lot of time has passed. All of this happened in the span of like 20 minutes. So like, we're 20 minutes already drunk, already high, already ready to go. And the extended friend is like, oh my God, did we ever book that Uber? And we're like, oh my God, we gotta get to the club. We're thinking that it's like 1 a.m. It's only like 12 o'clock, you know? I don't know if anyone's been to the clubs, but if you go at 12, that's like, okay. One is like, oh, like everything's already happening at one. So we're like, you know what? It's only like 12 o'clock. Let's take our time, you know, watch some videos. We watch the videos and we're like, two songs have passed. We think forever has gone, right? But right now we're on the part where the guy's like, you, dude. I'm like, oh my God, we, because we're like so gone right now. So we're looking at the YouTube video of Crank That Soulja Boy, and he says, you, and we're like, oh my God, the Uber. So we book the Uber. Well, he does, because no one else has phones. The Airbnb had the YouTube, just in case you're wondering, like, they didn't have phones, how do they have YouTube? It was the Airbnb. So we went ahead, and we waited for this Uber car, and we walk outside, and we're like, wait, so who's getting in what car? And then he's like, okay. So since her and I came from New Jersey, we'll meet you guys there since you guys came from, like, we are just going to go the same way we got here. We're all going to meet up at the club. It's about 5 minutes away. So we're like, okay, wait, what's the name of the club? And he's like, oh, the club is, you know, whatever. I can't remember the name of the club. Sorry. But like, he's like, oh, we're going to go to this club. And we're like, okay, so let's go to the club. We get to the Uber. First of all, it's very fun being cross-faded in the elevator. Like, you'll see people walk in, and you're like, they don't know I'm high. So like, you just kind of like, you know, straighten up. You're like, yeah, you know, it's a really nice night. Isn't it a good night? And you talk to the person on the elevator. You're like, have a wonderful night. They don't even know you're high. So you're just like clapping at your friends like, yeah, we did it. We did it. You know, tourist. We walk outside and we see the Toyota. It's like a Corollas and Camrys look the same to me. So it was either or, black. And the guy's like, hey, are you David? And we're like, oh, David booked the Uber for us, but it's for us, it's us. We're going to, we say the club's name. And the guy's like, oh, okay, I know exactly where that is. Let's go. So we're all like, oh, we'll see you at the club. We get in the Uber. And right off the bat, you know, when you're cross-fitted, you're kind of looking around, you're like, ooh, everything's so pretty. And then something just felt weird. But then I just realized it was my girlfriend touching me, so I'm just like fooling around with her. I'm like, yeah, well, you know, let's fool around an Uber car in Toronto because we're CrossFit, we're having a good time, we're tourists. And we're out of Bradford. So that's like, whew, I can see the beach from here. Like everything's just beautiful. So we're in the Uber and I'm looking around and I'm like, okay, so we're going to the club. And the guy's like, yeah, I'm gonna take you there. The route says to make a left, but then he makes a right. So my girlfriend's like, excuse me, sir, you made a right when it was supposed to go left. And the guy's like, oh, don't worry about it, don't worry about it, it's a shortcut, okay? Like, I know exactly where I'm going, okay? I'm taking a shortcut. And he's telling my friend in the front, that's friend number one. She's like, oh, don't worry about it, friend number one, you know, this is just a shortcut. So the route says to make a right, and then he makes a left. So then my girlfriend right away, she's like, excuse me, sir. The route said to make a left, you made a right. And he's like, no, it's just another shortcut. And I'm looking around, I'm like, oh, it's so pretty in Toronto. Oh my God. I'm like looking, I'm like, another ambulance. That makes five of them so far. And I'm like, wow, another cop car, that's two. Toronto's gorgeous. And I'm just like, just so in my head. And then my girlfriend, she's like, wait, Desiree, stop. Like, you know, she was fooling with me, but now she's not fooling with me anymore. I'm like, okay, whatever, you do your thing, crabby. So she's telling him, like, follow the route. So I look up, and I'm like, are you using Waze? I use Waze. Waze tells you if there's cops, if there's ambulances, if there's any, like, accidents. It gives you the shortcuts to, like, no matter where you want to go. Like, Waze is amazing. And then the guy switches off Waze. So I'm like, jerk. He didn't even say nothing to me. He's talking to friend number one in the front. Every time we get to a red light, I start to notice he will roll the windows up. But then when the light turns green, he would roll the windows down. And then slowly, like Toronto, like the lights were just disappearing. I'm like, oh my God. Like I'm looking around, I'm like, where are the lights? I stopped on ambulance number 5, cop car number 3, and it's not looking like Toronto anymore. So immediately, I'm just like, where are we going? Like, we've been in here too long. And my friend's just like, Desiree, calm down. Like, everything's okay. And then my girlfriend's just like, I don't know what she's doing. She's like grabbing like a piece of string off of her shoe, wrapping it around her wrist. And I'm just like, what's going on? She's just like, this is like the third direction that he hasn't listened to. And I'm like, he's not even using Waze, bro. He didn't even answer my question. And I'm just like, this is the worst cross-faded experience of my life. Like, this is so bad. We keep driving, and my girlfriend, she goes and she tells the guy, she's like, Bro, I'm gonna need her whole, like, I don't know if you've ever been to New Jersey, but Brunswick is where she's from. Her whole Brunswick comes up. She's like, yo, dude, you're gonna have to follow the route. Like, I don't know where you think you're going right now, but you need to go straight. The route says to go straight. So the guy goes straight, the light turns green, and he makes a hard right. So now I'm just like, bad high. Like, I'm just like, okay, I'm looking in like anything, like to see if there's anyone around to like kind of see what's going on. Cause I know what's going on. My girlfriend knows what's going on. And friend number one is just like, ah. And then friend number two is just like, she's asleep, she's knocked out. I don't know how, we had like sativa. She should have been wide awake. But anyway, I'm just like, if that was a shortcut, then why are we still in the car? And then I'm like, Toronto is beautiful. There's nothing around here. I finally see like a yellow car come up in the rearview mirror. And I'm like, okay, bro, you got two options. You can either let us out or I'm jumping out. And the guy starts to speed up. So as soon as I see that car gets a little bit closer in my vision, I open the door and the guy stops the car. I'm like, yo, everybody get the fuck out of the car. Get out, get out, get out, get out, get out. And then the girls are like, Desri, we're supposed to be going to the club. What are you doing? And I'm like, what are you doing? Get out of the car. Get out of the car. Get out, get out. And they're just like, oh my God, Desri, like, what is wrong with you and your girlfriend? Like, just calm down. And we're like, okay, sweetie, can you open your eyes? We're not in Toronto anymore. We're at the edge of a bus terminal, 20 minutes in the opposite direction of the club. So, yeah. Make sure that, keep your eyes open. That's it.
If you love the show, please leave us a review. Like I said, it really, really helps us get found. If you have any questions or comments about our podcast, email me directly at enid@rawstorytelling.org. Sign up for our newsletter so you can get informed on what's happening. We send out our newsletter once a month, so it's not spammy at all. And you can sign up for our newsletter at rawstorytelling.org or follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Raw Storytelling, where we share the latest news. And thank you to DJ Sandoz for the audio recording of the show. Fabiel Lozada is our podcast editor, and Cafe Collective was our host venue. Raw Storytelling is a production of branding and design studio Raw Made, and learn more about that at therawmade.com. The music you heard in this episode is by Singing Forest, DRVN Official, Blackbird Blackbird, and other varied artists featured on our live show recordings. Until next time, keep it raw.